Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time. I invite you, as they're headed back to their seats, to stand in body or spirit as you are able and join in the reading of our focus scripture today from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk so that you may grow into salvation. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight, and, like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices accepted to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am lying in Zion, a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him, he will not put to shame. To you, then, who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you might proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." Thank you. You may be seated. It has been a week around here. We are finally seeing progress with Richard, the young man that we have been working with for close to 2 years now. We have a team of state workers who are assembled and are working to get him into stable housing. As I mentioned earlier, Lily is back in Taiwan, united with her family. The lives of Robert Mimmett and Bill Varnum, beloved fathers and members of this congregation, were both celebrated this weekend. And today, we celebrate the accomplishments of our young adults and join them in petitioning God to guide their next steps. We distributed college gift bags to those students who are about to face finals this week, and we join with Allison in another God adventure. The lectionary passages for this week have guided me through each and every one of these circumstances. You know, I often have stated God's faithfulness to provide just the right word at just the right time, but I really cannot emphasize it enough. His word truly is holy. It's set apart from all else. The Spirit of God uses it to help us to navigate every situation and circumstance in life. If it only happened occasionally, then maybe we could write it off as coincidence, as some tend to do. But guys, it is no coincidence that the word for today is so appropriate for the celebrations of this weekend, for every life and death, for suffering and celebration. I start with that because if you take nothing else from today, I pray that you'll carry that truth out the door with you today. God really is with us, and he reveals his presence through his word, through creation, through people, and through experiences. We use the revised lection, can't say it, the Revised Common Lectionary for our scripture passages. And that's important to know because we didn't cherry pick today's passage for these students celebrating this occasion. The passages were assigned long ago by people who had no idea what we would be experiencing, and yet here we are with the perfect words offered through four various passages. One of the passages for today in the Revised Common Lectionary is John 14, 1 through 14. It's Jesus' words to the disciples advising them how to react to an event that had not yet happened. So he's speaking to them about his coming again at a time when he has not left yet. Then we have Acts 7, 55 through 60, sometimes referred to as the stoning of Stephen, but in my opinion, better referred to as Stephen empowered to reflect Jesus in the greatest of suffering. Psalm 31, that refers to God as our rock and our refuge, our fortress, our guide, our protector, who loves us fiercely. And then our focus passage today from 1 Peter 2, 2 through 10, words that were penned by the disciple Peter, informing the church of their identity, their purpose in the world. Can we pause for just a moment for a word of prayer? God, I do pray that you speak to these gathered this day through the gift of your word. Make this word applicable for each and every individual and to us collectively as a congregation. Minister to every heart and every mind. May your good and perfect will be accomplished in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So John 14, 1 through 14 begins with these words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." They go on to speak of a place being prepared where we will be reunited with Jesus. Jesus speaks about what is to come, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his coming again. I was thinking about the varied circumstances of this week as I prepared these passages, as I studied these passages, and I'm reminded that regardless of the varying different situations, the varying stages of life, the varying phases of life that we go through, God knows. God is with us. There is always hope and promise. The promise is greater than just this mansion in the sky. The promise is peace in times of suffering, even while we wait on the fulfillment of the promises. Jesus said, "Would I have told you if it weren't so?" And we place our trust in lots of places. The question today is, have you placed your trust in the one who will never fail or forsake you, the one who has proved trustworthy time and time again, the one who was crucified and yet still lives? So these words are for each of us that are present today. It's a living word. We need to ask ourselves then, well, where is the living Christ among us now? How is Christ active, and how can I join in that work? Place, referred to in this passage, isn't so much about a location. It's about a relationship. What Jesus is saying is, abide in me. Live in an awareness of my presence with you at all times. Jesus goes on to tell us that we're going to accomplish greater things, even greater things. What? Greater things than making the blind see, healings and miracles, raising the dead, exorcising demons, resurrection? Jesus relies on us to reveal resurrection, to be a revelation of God in a world in need, to show what a person empowered by the love of God looks like. Maybe you've heard it said, we are an Easter people. Have you thought about what that means? Because it means that we're overcomers and that we are led by a higher power and we trust in the one who is, who was, and who always will be. We stand on the promise of God, proclaiming the good news that you have been set free from everything that hinders and holds back. You are a child of the King, even more important than European royalty. You have an inheritance. God's favor is upon you. Way too often we read texts looking for doctrine, which causes us to take events out of context. For instance, the stoning of Stephen can look like a moment where the crowd responds violently to a single incident, similar to current events, where something triggers someone to do something horrible. We ask ourselves, what was the reason? What caused Stephen to be stoned? Well, it wasn't what he was doing. He was just cleaning tables. It was his testimony of faith. It was his committed belief. Don't miss the what, looking for the why. Stephen's belief that God was good, that God loved all, that God came in the form of Jesus to include, not to exclude all people from the family of God, messed with people's doctrine. In spite of the ugliness and the violence that existed around him that was directed to him, Stephen's faith enabled him to look exactly like Jesus, even as he was being persecuted unto death. As Stephen kept his gaze on Christ, he became the mirror image of Christ. I want you to listen to the passage. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout, all rushed together against him, and they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coat at the feet of a young man named Saul. And while they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he knelt down and he cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this against them. And when he said this, he died. Sound like another story that we heard recently? When you keep your gaze on Christ, no enemy threat can harm you. Instead, it will form and fashion within you the ability to look like Jesus. Did you notice that out-of-place statement regarding Saul? Witnesses, laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Everything. Saul, the Roman leader present at and apparently strongly in favor of the stoning of Stephen, remember, it was his mission to eliminate Christians, to stop the movement before it got out of hand. It is the same person who, following an encounter with Jesus, totally changed the trajectory of his life. Do not ever, ever give up on people, regardless of their current mission. An encounter with Jesus is always possible, and those encounters change everything. In 1 Peter, the disciple tells the church that turning your eyes on Jesus makes you into a living stone. So it's important to know what a living stone is. In ancient tradition, when God did something miraculous, people would stack stones as a memorial to honor God in that place. So when others would pass by that place and see those stones stacked, they would ask, what happened here? Allowing those present to share, let me tell you what God did in this place. You are a living stone. You should cause others to question, what happened here? Opening the door to share your faith in God with those that you encounter. Peter wanted the church to understand their identity and to believe what God could accomplish in and through them if they kept their gaze on him. It has been a long-standing tradition of mine to choose a verse of scripture that reminds me of each of these young adults and to share that with them in your presence. I'm changing that up this year after a lot of struggle, and I want to explain why. At Robert Mimet's memorial service this week, I shared a story that his wife Tandy had shared with me about a friend of Robert's who had heard about his upcoming heart surgery and had gone over to his house needing to share in person a word with him. He went over to his house, and in his driveway, he met with Robert, looked him right in the eyes, and he said, Robert, you need to know that I see in you a pure soul. And then he laid hands on him, and he prayed a Hindu prayer over him. And that just registered with my spirit, because that's what I try to do every year with all of the seniors. But all of you need that opportunity. We need to all take advantage of every moment that we have to look somebody in the eye and tell them where we've seen God in their lives, to encourage them to continue to live with bold, courageous faith and keep their eyes on the Jesus who we've seen reflected in their lives. And you will have that opportunity at lunch today. I want to encourage you to let these young adults know how you've been inspired by them. Encourage them. Let them know where you've seen God lived out in them. And if you don't even know them, take just a minute to connect with them before they go on to other places. Maybe step out of your comfort zone and say a personal prayer over them. Those are powerful instances where the Spirit can work in and through a moment in time to accomplish His purpose in the life of someone else. We are God's people. We are chosen, royal, holy, God's own people, chosen to proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called us out of darkness and into the marvelous light. May we do so here and now and as we depart from this place with incredible joy. Amen.